This morning we look at the subject of what the Bible says about hope and the hope for which we are saved. I look forward to this time of the year. This is the time of the year, and as pointed out already this morning, first day of the week is the day in which Christ rose from the dead. And from our scripture reading, we see Jesus rose on the first day of the week. And it is this time of the year, when Passover is, that Jesus died and He was buried and He resurrected. And I definitely want to think about that this morning and think about the resurrection of Christ and His great work. So you have your Bible. We're going to go to Romans chapter 8. For many people, Romans 8 is their favorite chapter, their favorite section of Scripture in the Bible. So we're going to draw from it. It's also one of those chapters where you read it and you think, I read a bunch of great stuff in there, but I don't understand half of it. So it's a wonderful chapter there. Does anybody need a Bible this morning? We can get one for you. Charlie, can you go back there in our study? And there you go. Thank you, Patricia. And we can get a few more, too, if you need one. And there's some out here as well. All right. So we're at Romans chapter 8. So God, our God who created the heavens and the earth, He gives life. We just read from our song where we read this line where it says, the Holy Spirit gives life. And that's what we see in the Scripture. The Holy Spirit does give revival and does give us life. And it's God who has created all life and made all things. He took what was not and where there was no life, and He created life in the creation. He is able to do that. And so some today when they hear Jesus rose from the dead and they think about the grave being empty, they think, is that possible? Can that be done? You know, in the Greco-Roman world, you would think, being superstitious and believing in multiple gods, you would think they would believe in things like this, but they didn't. They thought it was a crazy idea that the dead would rise from the grave. The Jews in that time period, for the most part, those who were over the Pharisaical thinking, that was the mainstream thinking of the Jews, they believed in the resurrection on the last day. And you can read more about this thinking in John chapter 11 and get this mindset. But then you also had those, like we've talked about before, the Sadducees, who believed there'd be no resurrection. I want to look at some of this morning because this is at the heart of the Christian faith. When you look at what the gospel is, 1 Corinthians 15 says the first importance of the gospel is this. That what? That Jesus died and that He was buried according to Scriptures and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 4. That is the gospel. And so our hope, our salvation is based on that. In fact, the verse right before it says we are saved by the gospel. Romans 1:16 says the gospel is the power of God to salvation. So when I have an opportunity to preach on the resurrection and the gospel of Christ, again, I will. And I'm always excited to. I think, oh, this week, preparation for this message, it's going to be easy. It's never easy. But I get to put all these scriptures together, and I'm always choosing, because when it comes to the subject of the resurrection, there's so much to talk about and so much to study. So what I want to do this morning is go to Romans 8. We're going to make some observations here, verses 18 through 15. And I'll give you some of mine, and we're going to... You can have some of yours. We'll draw out to better understand what we're reading here in Romans chapter 8. And the context of Romans 8 is the life that the Holy Spirit gives us and the freedom from sin and the strength that comes from that. And there's so much there in that text. Well, I've spoken on that before. But let's go down to verse 18. He says, "For consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us." All right, think about that for a second. The suffering in this present time is not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. What's he talking about? We'll get to that. Verse 19. He says, "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God, for the children of God." Verse 20. "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope." Oh, wait a minute. Why is the creation in futility? What does that have to do with hope for this assurance of what we look forward to? Let's keep reading. Verse 21, "That the creation itself will be set free from bondage to corruption." So the creation will be set free from corruption, that's decay, "and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God." The creation will have a part of the glory of which the faithful, the children of God, will have. That's an amazing thing to think about. Let's keep going. Verse 22, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, those who have the first blessings of the Holy Spirit. We groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, as children, the redemption of our bodies. The redemption of our bodies. Notice this. We have the redemption of our bodies. What's he talking about? And look at verses 24 and 25. He says, "For in this hope we were saved." That's the message this morning when we look at the title of the message. It's in this hope that we were saved. The redemption of our bodies. And before I lose you, stay with me. We'll clear this up in a minute. Look at verse 24. "For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." We wait for it with endurance. Throughout the scriptures, the Bible tells us we got to have hope. And the Bible teaches us a hope that is an assurance and is a focus on what God promises us. This is what gives life to our faith. When you wonder, why do I live in the way that I do? Why am I often rebellious? Why do I sin? Why do I do the thing I don't want to do? It's often because our focus isn't right. We're not thinking on things above. Colossians 3 and verse 1 tells us to do. We're not set on the hope that is set before us. We're not thinking about the greater promises of God. And what we're going to look at here very quickly, and to fill in those blanks there, if you have a bulletin, you can follow along with the outline. But we're going to think about this for a moment and what's being communicated to us here. If you don't know the context and the fullness of the rest of the New Testament, some of these things, it's like, what are you saying, Paul? So these are some observations. The sufferings of this life right now, cannot compare with the glory to come. God's promised us something. He's promised us something beautiful and wonderful, eternal life, immortality. And he tells us how he does that. And I think that's an amazing thing to think of. Everybody in here, we've endured suffering. We've gone through hardships. We've lost loved ones. We've had pain in our life. And yet the Bible says that won't compare. It's not even close to what God's going to give you, the glory that is to come. And all the glory and the blessings that we receive, the emphasis throughout the New Testament is on the body. On the body. And what's going to happen? And here Paul talks about the creation. He says the creation is subject to futility. It's groaning, it's decaying. You know, scientifically, you might think of the second law of thermodynamics. Everything is wearing down. It's in decay. We see that. And what's going to happen from it? Well, the Bible says that the creation will be set free. So you start thinking about this, but if you're thinking like I am, I'm also thinking, what about those passages that say that the heaven and earth are going to be burned up? Or that Revelation says the heaven and earth will pass away. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. All of this is a part of that glory to come. So when we get this picture of the creation, we see that the creation will obtain freedom of the glory of God's children. So there's a freedom from this decay. All right, and I'm not going to fill in all the gaps this morning to explain exactly what's going on with the creation as far as what I might infer from other scriptures. But what I want to look at is the glory that has been promised to us, the promises of God, of eternal life, and what they look like. I've talked to others and I've shared the gospel and I've had some look at me very strangely. That's the hope. That's the hope of the Christian faith, is that we will receive glorious bodies that will be resurrected on the last day. This is what we're getting a picture of right here. And we keep reading here. What we see here from Romans 8 is that we receive the first fruits, the first blessings of the Holy Spirit. And it says in 1 Corinthians 15 that when Jesus rose from the dead, he's the first fruits of the resurrection. In other words, he was the first who rose never to die again. And that promise is given to us, that we follow the model of Christ, that we die to this world, that we're buried with him in baptism, that we rise up in the newness of life. And living in a new life, we live in the hope that one day we will rise because we trust in God. And God says that gift is given to you and that promise is given to you because you believe in him and you believe in his promises. And then we also see here there's this adoption that's talked about. The word adoption in Greek just means to be made into a child of God or into someone's child. It's literally what it means in Greek. And so when you have this redemption, you've got this buying. Christ made a purchase with his blood. And he made he accomplished a wonderful thing when he rose from the dead. He gave us this, the redemption of the bodies. And this, the Bible says, is our hope. This is what we hope for. This is what gives us endurance, is that we will be resurrected like Christ, that we will receive glorious bodies. And some And I'm always shocked by those who say, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, but I've never heard that before. I mean, yet it's right here and it's throughout the scriptures. We also see this hope of the redemption of the bodies. He says, this is what we're saved for. This is what it means to be a Christian. This is what Jesus accomplished when he rose from the dead. You know, and I've talked about this. Some of don't understand why Jesus rose from the dead. They just think it was this great demonstration of God's power. And it is. And God being the creator of the whole universe, of course he can raise the dead. But through it, we have salvation. And when we believe these things, and this is part of our study from Wednesday night, when we believe Christ is coming back, when we believe that the dead will rise, that we believe we're going to have eternal life in this way, this gives us hope. We live for it. We endure. We go through sufferings. And it gives us that endurance, the same endurance we read about in passages like Romans 5, 3 through 5, where we want to increase in our hope and our character. And we're able to endure so much more. So much of the world cannot. And our grieving changes. Because now when we lose a loved one who is a Christian, we don't grieve like others do. We have hope. We look forward to being with them again. What we read here again in the passage, Christians are saved for the hope of the redemption of our bodies. And to me, this is the most beautiful and glorious promise in all the scriptures. This is where my heart is. The gospel of Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and this hope of salvation, I'm always thinking about it. I'm always contemplating it. I'm always reading about the promises of it. This is what gives me endurance. This is why I'm, as a Christian, I'm never going to give up. I also think about these things. You know, like Peter says here in 1 Peter 3, he says, you need to be ready at all times to give a defense of your hope. You know, oftentimes when someone questions what we believe or where we stand, we give a defense of what? We give a defense first of the Bible or of Jesus or of God or of our faith. And I love the description here. Think of it in this way. Can you defend your hope? You know, what do I hope in? What do I trust that God's going to give me? What promises has he offered to me? 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready always to give a defense of the hope that's within you. Can you do that? So we look at these promises. And so back to Romans 8, there's a passage before in verse 11 that talks about the redemption of the body and talks about the work of the Holy Spirit too. Look right here what Paul says. If the Spirit of him, that's the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells within you. And so the Bible teaches us that if the Spirit does not dwell within you, then you're not saved, that you don't have that blessing. And the Scriptures say, like Acts 2:38 says, that when you're baptized, you're forgiven of your sins and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So if the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead dwells within you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will, future tense, also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells within you. And that's the hope of the Christian faith. And we don't see that just there in Romans 8, 11. We see it in Romans 6 and verse 5. I've got those passages noted up there. 1 Corinthians 6:14, 1 Corinthians 15:20-22, and many other scriptures that go along with it that we can take a look at. And as we think about this resurrection, it's an amazing thing to think of. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he says that if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then you won't be raised, and you don't have any hope anymore. And he puts it before him and saying, why are you even a Christian? Why are you a Christian if you don't hope in it, if you don't believe in the eternal life and what has been given to you through Jesus Christ? And I like to put it this way, in the scope of how Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible says continuously we're going to resurrect as he did, like he did. 2 Corinthians 4:14, 1 Corinthians 6:14. And I'll put the statement before you, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15:16. If there's no flesh and bone resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised flesh and bone. But he has been, and so we will too. Luke 24:36-40. Here's a part of that narrative. We had a little bit of that reading this morning from Luke 24, of the women coming to the tomb and finding it empty and coming to start to realize that Christ had risen from the dead. Luke 24:36-40 says this. And they were talking about these things. And so the disciples had gathered together, and two of them had seen Jesus and had walked with him. Peter had seen Jesus resurrected from the dead. They've gathered together and are talking about it. And then Jesus appears, and he's standing among them, and he says to them, peace to you. And they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. They thought, Jesus is a ghost. But Jesus says to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when they had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And if you keep reading there, it says he asked for fish and he ate from it. You got the picture of the resurrection of Christ. He didn't rise as a vision. He didn't rise as a feeling. He wasn't merely an epiphany. He wasn't just some kind of a generic experience. He rose flesh and bone from the grave. God restored him, brought him to life. It's pictures we get throughout the Bible. You might think of Ezekiel, the valley of dry bones, and the resurrection that is there in the book of Ezekiel. You might think of Isaiah 26 and verse 19, where God creates and restores to life again in that passage. Great passages throughout Scripture. Daniel 12 and verse 2 talks about us being raised again to eternal life. Those are passages in the Old Testament and through the New Testament as well. So much to be said about the hope of the Christian life. Why Christ rose again. I think part of the power of thinking about the resurrection of Christ is, I think, why did he rise? And when we read the Scriptures and the prophecies that existed centuries before Jesus, it says that he was without sin, without deceit, without violence, and that we see that death couldn't hold him. And so God saw him and prolonged his days there in Isaiah 53. And then Jesus comes and fulfills that. He dies. It says his grave was made with the rich man in his death. That's what Isaiah 53 says. That was fulfilled in Jesus. And then we see again, Isaiah 53 and verse 10, that his days would be prolonged. He would rise from the dead. Psalm 16 tells us again that the Messiah would not stay dead. He would not see corruption, but that he would rise from the dead. And so we have these predictions centuries in advance of Jesus, and he comes and he fulfills them. And it's because of those things I read in Scripture and who I read about who Jesus is and who he is that I believe it when the Bible says that death could not hold him. When he was in the tomb, he couldn't stay there. That he was without sin. Now, who is without sin except for God? And that again affirms to me, Jesus rose from the dead because he's without sin. He's without sin, so his words are perfect and flawless. And because he's without sin, that he is God come in the flesh. And I believe that and I trust it. And it all comes back to belief and faith in the resurrection. It's at the core of who we are and what we believe as Christians and what we hope in. We read these passages here about the importance of Jesus' resurrection. And why we need to hope in him. So Jesus' resurrection, it's important. And the Bible says this in Romans chapter 4, 24 to 25. It says, it, righteousness, will be counted to us who believe in him who raised the dead, Jesus our Lord. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in God? Do you believe he raised Jesus from the dead? It says you'll be counted as just before God and righteous. He says, who was delivered up for our trespasses. That's why Christ died, but then it says what? It says he was raised for our justification. And the Scriptures stress this, that if Jesus didn't rise, then you're still in your sins. Look at this, 1 Corinthians 15, 17. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. He had to rise. He conquered death. He conquered sin. He conquered all the laws, all the guilt that we might have and shame. He's overcome it. He condemned sin in the flesh, Romans 8 and verse 3. And he did that for us. This is what was accomplished in the gospel of Christ when Jesus died and rose again. We read passages like 1 Corinthians 6:14. It says, and God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. 2 Corinthians 4:14, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us into his presence, will be raised. That's the word there. Word for raised means to be resurrected. To be brought to life, to bodily life again, to be raised as Christ was. This morning, I hope that we think more about that. We're here on the first day of the week. Why? Because it's on the first day of the week that Christ rose from the dead. This is what we believe in. This is what we trust in. This is at the heart of the gospel, of the Christian faith. And Christ's resurrection is an assurance to us that we will be resurrected on the last day. Jesus promised that. Go read John 6, 39 and 40. Read John 5, 28 and 29. Read John chapter 6 and verse 53 and following, and you'll read Jesus' words. He says he's coming on the last day, and the dead will rise. Not only that, Do we live on this hope? It's not a hope that's made and built on some blind faith. The historical evidence around what we believe about Jesus' resurrection is immense. And every year I love to go and read these things. Here in the scriptures we have Paul saying, listen, we have multiple witnesses, hundreds of witnesses. He, that is Jesus, appeared to Cephas after he had risen from the dead. Then to the 12. He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive. And though some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. Remember, Jesus had sent out more than the 12 at one time. He'd sent out 70 as well. It says, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. And the scriptures stress the witnesses. And we look at this. These are some things that historians agree on today in regards to it. And yes, there are many of them that don't believe or don't even believe in God. But they admit these things, and I wonder, well, how can you admit these things and say you still don't believe? They admit this, that Joseph of Arimathea buried Jesus' body in a tomb. Yes, you couldn't make up this man who's a part of the Sanhedrin, and you have multiple sources that say that Joseph of Arimathea buried Jesus' body in a tomb. As we mentioned last week, it is undeniable that Jesus Christ lives, Jesus of Nazareth, that he was crucified by Pontius Pilate in the first century. And it's also undeniable that after he died, he was buried. Not only that, as we've read this morning from Luke, the Gospel of Mark attests that it was women who found that Jesus' tomb was empty on the third day. And this would be in a little bit shameful, because the disciples are described there as being afraid of locking themselves away. And so is the women that found the tomb empty. Other things that historians recognize is that the lives of various people changed when they experienced Jesus risen from the dead. And I had to use the word experience there because there's some who are a little agnostic on this. But I believe fully, of course. Their lives changed because they saw Jesus. Hundreds of witnesses saw Jesus resurrected from the dead, and they told the world. And their lives changed. They were willing to die for what they believed in. You have hostile unbelievers. Jesus' brothers converted, all four of them, James to be most notable. And then Paul, who persecuted and killed Christians, he came to believe after he saw Jesus resurrected from the dead. How would someone explain these things? It seems clear, very clear of how Paul came to the faith and that he believed that Jesus rose from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus was proclaimed also very early. This wasn't a myth. It wasn't something invented over time. It wasn't something that happened. Like Jesus died in the first century. In the second century, they came up with this thing. Well, maybe he came to life bodily. No, it happened immediately. The historians agree that soon, right after when Jesus had died, that they came to believe that Jesus resurrected from the dead. One thing I think is adamantly clear to us today is that Christians today, we exist today. Why? Because of generations of those who came before us, who taught us, and it's come down the line from the first century that Christ rose from the dead. And we know these things, and we read about the prophecies in the Bible that came centuries before Christ, and we see Jesus, we see his life, we see who he is, we believe that he died for us, and we believe that death couldn't hold him, and that he rose again from the grave. And that promise and that hope is given to us. And I present those things to you because even the Bible says in Acts 1 and verse 3, it says that by proofs, Christ showed himself alive from the dead to his disciples. By evidence, and it's there in the scriptures, the witnesses are clear that Jesus rose bodily from the dead. And all the Christian hope rests upon the resurrection of Christ. I hope that this morning for every one of us that we think about these things, that we put our faith in the gospel of Christ, that we believe that Jesus rose from the dead, that we trust in our Creator, the one who created and did all things, who brought that was not living into life, the one who rose Christ from the dead, that we trust in Him, and then the day in which Christ comes again, that we will be reunited with our bodies, that we will be restored to life and resurrected. These are the things that the Scriptures promise to us. This is what Jesus promises. It's what the Bible teaches us. And I would encourage you this morning as well, that you partake in the resurrection and the hope of the resurrection by being united with Jesus in his burial. And how do you do that? Romans chapter 6 says this. It's also in Colossians 2. 1 Peter also makes reference to this. Romans 6 says this. We were buried therefore with him, with Christ. How? By baptism into death, In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. In other words, we die with Christ to our sins and to the world. We're buried in baptism, and we rise up to the newness of life. And he says, for if we've been united with him in a death like his, if we've been united with Christ in his death and burial, he says, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. That's what I hope for. That's the Christian hope. That's the redemption of the body that we've read this morning from Romans 8. And I hope to encourage you with these words this morning to make sure that you're faithful and living by that hope in Christ. Have you been united with Christ in baptism? We encourage you this morning, if you haven't done that, to repent of your sins and confess your faith in Christ. You can be baptized into Christ this morning. If you need prayers and encouragement, we want to pray with you. We want to encourage you in any way. We encourage you to do so. You can come forward now. Let's sing together.